This morning we look at Luke chapter 8, 26 to 39. There's a story, and it takes place on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Remember where we were last week? Anybody? We were on the Sea of Galilee in a storm, and they launched off into the sea. There was a storm. Well, guess what? We got to the other side. Now, most likely when they arrived, this is a Gentile region that they have arrived in because it seemed to be non-Jewish, and I'll tell you why, because it probably accounts for the pigs that we meet in the next part of the story. And there's really no other explanation of why Jesus went to this place and this particular territory other than the leading of the Holy Spirit. So here's the story, at least the beginning of it, in verse 26. It says, they sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it has seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Heavenly Father, we pause for a moment. Let me just say, I praise you because you have all power. I thank you that you have power over the demonic. And Lord, I want to surrender my life to your power. And Lord, would you teach us today? Holy Spirit, enlighten our hearts for application today, not just knowledge, but Lord, carrying it out in activity in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. The story tells us that Jesus had arrived on the shore, and he gets out of the boat, and we're told that this violent, unclothed man, this demon-possessed man, starts coming toward him. And as you may remember, some of you, I don't know where your biblical understanding of history, but demons are the fallen angels who work under Satan. What happened was there was this angel named Lucifer, one of the archangels in heaven. In fact, he was the leader of worship. And he rebelled against God. And when he did, God cast him out, and a third of the angels fell with him. And they are here on this earth, and they are the demonic influence and along with Satan. And they're here to defeat the work of God. Although there are some who maybe scoff at the notion that there are demons, church, I believe demons are real. What does a demon-possessed person look like in the Bible? Well, they're taken over and enslaved or controlled by evil supernatural forces. As we look at cases of demon possession in the Bible, there's several things we learn or notice. Number one is this: the people possessed tend to have disregard for personal dignity. For instance, this particular one not wearing clothes. If someone walked into this place not wearing clothes, what would you think? I mean, it's not the modest thing to do. We even have laws that keep modesty on our streets. Secondly, possessed people often engage in destructive behaviors. Possessed people are often uncontrollably angry. Fourth, the demons within the person always recognize the authority of Jesus. And fifth, possessed people often have extraordinary strength. For a moment, I kind of want you to kind of somehow enter this man's world in the thought process for a moment. This demon-possessed man had become an outcast of society. He was violent, and he terrified the people of the town. He was so terrifying that they chained him up and put him under guard. In fact, verse 29, we read it, many times the demons, had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. He was so strong that he could break the chains and then he would escape to the tombs of outside of the town. I don't know about you, but this man's life must have been awful. I don't know if he had any idea of the uncontrollable nature of his life. I wonder if he felt like a hostage in his own body. I don't know. But I'm sure he was a person that people probably pointed at and probably feared, and others made fun of him. I'm sure at times he was just dismissed as crazy. Basically, though, he had been condemned to live like an animal among the tombs. Now picture the man who's living among the tombs as he watches this boat come on shore containing Jesus and the disciples. As the boat lands, this demoniac begins to head toward them. And you have to pause and wonder for just a moment, what were the disciples thinking? The man has no clothes on. Come on, this is in the Bible. And he's walking toward them. He's probably looking like he's out of his mind. This is a little strange. What do we do? Let's get back in the boat and let's go back. But Jesus was already out of the boat and he didn't react with any sense of fear. And you need to know, because Jesus was confident that his power was over spirit power in this world. When the demons in the man saw Jesus, they caused the man to fall to his knees. And then the demons said to Jesus, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Did you notice there was really no introductions of who he was, but the demons recognized who he was? Why? Because the demons were in heaven when Jesus, the Word of God, was there in the beginning. In fact, so they recognize he's Jesus and he's the Son of God. And they said, "I beg you, don't torture me." Let me take you a moment and take you to the book of James and what he tells us about demons. In James 2:19, it says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you." And church, that's where we believe. There's one God. He expresses himself in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we live as these people of God believing that. Good for you. But James goes on to say, even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. I don't want you to miss the significance of what's going on in this moment between Jesus and this demoniac. This army of demons that were in this man are bowing before the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, you need to know, Satan may have power, and he might seek to do us harm, but he has to always submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is outside the authority of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is an important reminder that there is nothing in your life that Jesus cannot overcome. We know he has authority over sickness. Last week, we learned he has authority over nature. And this week, I want you to know he has authority over the spiritual dark realm of this world and Satan. So know that Jesus can help you in any and every situation. Amen? Amen. Let's read the rest of the story beginning at verse 30. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear, So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This encounter with this demoniac starts with a simple conversation from Jesus by saying, "What is your name?" And he was told by the demons through the man that his name was Legion because of the many demons that were in him. We do not really know how many demons he had, but it had to be a large sum since they ended up possessing a large herd of pigs. In fact, in Mark 5:13, we're told that there were about 2,000 pigs that they entered. Let me ask this question, though. Why did Jesus ask the man his name? One suggests that Jesus did this for the benefit of those who were present that day so they could identify the man's problem. He wanted people to see the man is not bad, but that he is possessed by demons. And that's something we need to understand, that if someone is really demon-possessed, it's not them, it's the demons in them. Now, also, you need to know that by identifying the fact that there were many demons in him, Jesus was also showing that he had authority not over a demon, but an army of demons. Now, this legion of demons knew that Jesus was going to cast them out. They knew that. They knew the heart of Jesus would not leave this man possessed, but he's going to rescue this man. They also knew they could not stand before the Holy One of God and that they deserved his judgment. And so the demons daringly asked that they not be sent into the abyss or the place of the dead. That's what it means. And for some reason, Jesus granted the request of the demons. And so the demons entered the pigs, and we're told that the whole herd rushed down this steep hill and were drowned in the water. I don't know about you, but it leaves me with a lot of questions here. Why did the demons want to go into the pigs? You had that question? What happened to the demons after the pigs went into the sea? You ever had that question? Why did the pigs run into the sea? You know, I don't have an answer to any of that, just so you know. We're not told. Whatever the answer is, though, to all the questions you may come up with, you need to be careful in Scripture to not let it sidetrack you from what we need to learn from the story. Our focus is to be on the man who got delivered and on the God-man who set him free. Let's take a look, though, at the demon-possessed man for a moment as he was released from demonic control. Verse 34 and 35 again. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off, reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. So this is what they saw. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Don't miss this point of the story. Jesus had the power to give this man's life back to him. What had been taken from him by the demons, he is able to give it back. An incredible deliverance. Church, we have a powerful Savior. By the way, this story is not a whole lot different than our story. You go, well, we're not possessed with demons. Well, if you could always see our lives through the lens of God's holiness. Did you know all our perfection is wickedness before God? You think, well, we're doing good. Well, listen, it's nothing but filthy rags before him. We walk in a place before a holy God, but because of his grace and his mercy, he has delivered us from the power that has imprisoned us, which is our sin. On the cross, Jesus did for us what he did for that demoniac. He silenced the accusations of the devil. He satisfied the demands of justice. And the sin thing that was holding us bound to this earth and keeping us out of relationship with God, it was dealt with at the cross, cast out, and we've been set free by the cross. We who were once imprisoned and tortured in our minds by our sinful ways, we've now been given our lives back. We've been set free. And now we can sit at the feet of Jesus in peace. Isn't that incredible? That's the story that God desires for everyone and every life that comes to him. But the story doesn't stop there. I want you to see the response of the people, the response of the demoniac and the people. After the pigs were lost in the lake, by the way, that would have been a significant financial loss to those owners that day. 2,000 pigs today, if you lost them, would be a serious loss. Back then, it was real serious. But after the pigs had drowned, we're told that the owners ran to the town, told everyone what had happened. Pause for a moment. What do you think the men told? Did they talk about their great loss of the pigs, or did they talk about the great miracle? Well, from what we read and from human nature, you're going to find out that most likely the report was negative. It was about their loss. They told what had happened, but they are angry about it and not grateful for what had happened to the man. Because when the people came from the town, they found the crazy man is not crazy anymore. And the man who terrorized the townspeople is dressed, sitting before the Lord. And the man's response, who is delivered, is gratitude and devotion to the Lord. But the people's response is entirely different. Instead of celebrating the deliverance of the man, we're told two different times that the townspeople were afraid. In verse 35, we are told that they were phobio. It's where we get our word phobia. And this word means to scare away or wanting to flee. These people wanted to flee and get away. And I don't know why, in my own personal opinion, I don't understand what they saw, except they are influenced. Think about it. They are influenced by the story they heard in the town. And they're now saying, we don't want anything to do with this. In verse 37, another word is used, a Greek word again, phobos. It's a word for fear again, meaning which strikes fear, is used. Listen to verse 37 where this verse or word appears. All the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with terror, with fear. So he gets in the boat and leaves. Sadly, the people were afraid of Jesus. Rather than find security in the power he had, they wanted him to leave them. They told the Son of God, you're not welcome in our town. And sadly, today we have same responses in our world. Some people feel threatened by Jesus. When you bring Jesus up there, it's like, whoa, I don't want to hear about Jesus. And people don't like it when the Word of God is opened up and it begins to expose the sin in their life. Why? Because they're afraid of the authority of God in their life. And they do everything to get Jesus to leave. In fact, our world has enacted laws now to try to remove what we called prayer. How many grew up with prayer in school? How many have not grown up with prayer in school? I'm telling you, they enact laws, they're changing history to try to remove Jesus and his authority. So we're in this world where people are not hearing about Jesus like they should. In fact, many of them ridicule us as his followers. They want Jesus to leave them alone. But then there are others who are responding like the demoniac who gets freed. They recognize it's the Lord Jesus who can set them free. And they respond to his power by running to him and not from him. Why? Because they're willing to submit to his authority, to walk with him. Do you remember what Jesus told the demoniac? Here it is in verse 39. He says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Church, the Lord wants us to give our testimony where we live and tell others about the transformation that he's done in our lives. Today, there's a lot of lessons that can be learned from this, but I want to give you two closing thoughts. The first one is this. We are reminded that Satan and demonic power are real. I wonder if the whole pig situation, the destruction thing, and them going into the lake, was really designed for an express purpose of driving home a point that the demonic is real. If it were not for the pigs that day, people might have concluded that Jesus just healed the man and he wasn't really possessed. He was just mentally troubled. But the pigs going off the cliff, 2,000 of them, into that lake shows us that something supernatural was going on that day. Today, I'd like to put out a warning to the church. And here's the warning. Hear me clearly today. Seances, fortune telling, astrology, and Satanism are all extremely dangerous. If I broke into some of those, it would be palm readers, Ouija boards, if you want to break some of that all down. I'm telling you today, if you get involved in such things, you are inviting demons to come into your life. If you're involved in such practices, you need to stop immediately. You need to turn to the Lord and find His healing and His protection for your life. Church, you have to understand, as believers in Jesus Christ, we do not have to fear Satan. But that does not mean that we are not cautious or aware of the devil and his army. But we don't have to live in fear. Listen to what John the disciples tells us in 1 John 4:4. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." A second closing thought would be this. This passage is a message of hope, even those who seem most hopeless. This demoniac was an outcast. Nothing we can do for him. It's hopeless. It's sad that there were people that were more upset, though, about the pigs that died than about the man who was possessed. And I say this cautiously, but it needs to be said. I know that animals are certainly wonderful gifts from God, and we should care for them. But this passage reminds us that animals are not people. And Jesus values people above animals. And we need to get our focus on the lives and the souls of individuals because they need to meet Jesus. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning, or there'll be those who are watching this via our podcast or listening somehow. But if you're wondering if the grace of God could possibly help you, you need to read this story very carefully. Do you understand that Jesus got in a boat on the other side? Crossing the Sea of Galilee, he faced a storm in that process, dealing with his disciples. He arrives on shore, he casts out the demons, and then he gets back in the boat and goes back to the other side. Jesus came all that way for one man whom the world had tossed aside. One. He could have been there for a whole town, but they didn't want him. But one man needed him and wanted to be free. The question is, does Jesus care about you? You bet he does. Jesus came all the way to earth. He left heaven for you and for me. And then he went all the way to the cross and died on a cross to prove his love for you and for me. And maybe you feel like you're an outcast. Maybe society has labeled you. I want you to understand, Jesus sees you differently than the rest of the world. Jesus does not focus on your failures or your limitations or your flaws. Jesus focuses on your potential. He sees what you are created to be because he made you. He sees what you can become through his transforming grace and the power of his Holy Spirit in your life. Could I ask you today, please do not send him away. Welcome him today. Surrender today and be freed.